This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أما بعد عباد الله اتقوا الله كما أمر فإنه قال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. I would like inshallah in this khutbah if we can take a quick journey back in time to an event which no doubt is a pivotal event in the history of Islam, indeed in the history of mankind. This event, which is a true story of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a story of sacrifice, is a story of hope, it's a story of love, it's a story of giving, it's a story of anticipation, it's about construction, it's about building, it's about establishment, it's about setting the path and the way and the foundations for generations to come. After years of persecution in Mecca, of torture and abuse and harm and sometimes killing and imprisonment, many of the Muslims had now started to migrate towards their new city that had promised to give them refuge, Yathrib. And most of them migrating, yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still waiting for the permission to migrate. And when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wanted to migrate, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wait, Abu Bakr, because maybe Allah will make for you a companion in your journey." So Abu Bakr understood that this might mean that he will accompany the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so from that time he started to prepare 2 camels, giving them food, giving them water, because the camel needs time to build up its stores. Until that time came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left his house at a time where people don't usually leave, and that was in the midday, very hot time. And as he came and approached the house of Abu Bakr, they were surprised to see that he had come at such a time. And they knew that this was a serious matter. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told Abu Bakr that he had finally been given the permission to migrate. So Abu Bakr was so happy, he was filled of joy. And indeed Aisha radiallahu anha said, "I never imagined or believed that anyone would cry our happiness until I saw Abu Bakr cry that day." He was so happy to be the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who wouldn't be? But this news was still to be secret, because in another area of Mecca, Quraysh, the leaders of Quraysh, the mushrikun of Quraysh, were plotting and they were planning. They saw that the Muslims were migrating and they knew that it was very soon that the Prophet would also migrate. And so they had to do something. And so they met secretly and they thought about the different options that they had. They thought about imprisoning the Prophet ﷺ, locking him up so that he would not leave. They thought about exiling him as another option, getting rid of him far away so that he would not have influence. And while they were giving these suggestions, there was a man there who was refuting these suggestions and saying, "These are not going to work. Not going to work. If you imprison him, his words will get to his followers. If you exile him, his followers will join him soon." And that was, according to some of the people of the seerah, that was the shaitan who came to try to seal the very plot that they wanted to do, which was to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so they decided the best way to do this, and so that the blood of the Prophet would be spilled and it would be divided amongst all the clans and the tribes, so that Banu Hashim, which was the tribe of the Prophet, would not be able to fight everyone. So they chose a man from the different clans And they went at night time to surround the house of the Prophet ﷺ, waiting for the time that he leaves the house, as he used to leave at Fajr to go to the Masjid al-Haram to pray. And that would be the time that they would execute their evil plot. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who plots the best. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of their plot. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preparing. And he had decided and he knew that he was going to leave. And the plan was already there in place. So he left Ali radiallahu anhu in his bed to ensure that all the trusts, all the matters that have been entrusted to the Prophet ﷺ, because despite Quraysh wanting to kill the Prophet, they still trusted him because he was as-Sadiq al-Amin, he was the trustworthy, he was the honest. So he had to leave Ali to return all the trusts. And the Prophet ﷺ, with the power of Allah, he recited on them verses which made them blind to him. They could not see him. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he just left the house in front of them, but they could not see him. Miracle of the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to the Prophet ﷺ. And he left, and then with Abu Bakr, they go and they hurry climbing the mountains to go to the cave of Thawr, to hide there. Because they knew that if they were trying to just go to Medina straight away, they will be persecuted. And they will be followed. So they wanted to hide there in the cave for 3 nights. And indeed they went. And Abu Bakr, that man who cried to be when he heard the news of the company, was the best of all companions that a person could have. And you can see his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's, in one narration, his slippers torn, he carried the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And before they entered the cave, he said, "Wait, I will enter before you." He went before him. He checked the cave out to make sure there was no animals, no creatures, no snakes or scorpions, and any holes in the cave he filled them to make sure that nothing comes out. And then they went into the cave to rest there and to find security there and refuge until the time would come. They had already agreed with Abdullah ibn Urayqat, who was not a Muslim, but he was a trustworthy guide. They had agreed to meet him later on. And in the meantime, more stories of sacrifice from the family of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So while they were hiding in the cave, Abdullah, the son of Abu Bakr, would bring them news. He would listen and see what had happened in Mecca and bring the news to Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the news was that the Quraysh were frustrated, they were upset, they were mad that he managed to slip from right between their fingers. And so they put a price of 100 camels on the head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr to be brought back dead or alive. That was the news. That's how much they meant. They had to catch them. And in the meantime, Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, who even though she was pregnant, she would bring the Prophet and Abu Bakr food at a time when nobody was looking at her. Imagine a pregnant woman, heavily pregnant, and carrying food and climbing up the mountain to get to the cave to bring the food to Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A great feat of sacrifice. And the freed slave of Abu Bakr, Amr, who used to have some sheep, he used to also bring his sheep to herd in that area to get rid of all the footprints. And yet, Quraysh and the Mushrikeen, having anticipated such a great reward, everybody was on the outlook. And they looked and they searched and they reached to the mouth of the cave. That's how intense everything was. And there, Abu Bakr frightened for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, if they kill me, then I'm just a man." And that's very humble from him, because he wasn't just a man. But if they kill you, O Messenger of Allah, then they would have killed the nation. And that's why he was worried. He said, if they look, if one of them just looks to their feet, they will see us, O Messenger of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ said his famous words, which the Quran has engraved for all history. لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Don't worry, Abu Bakr, because Allah is with us. مَا ظَنُّكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرِ بِثْنَيْنَ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. What do you think about two who Allah is their third? If Allah is with us, then no harm can come to us. It's such a message of iman and conviction in Allah. Because no matter who plots against you, no matter what power they have, what weapons they have, what armor, what number they have, they cannot harm you if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want you to be harmed. And so for 3 days they were in that cave, waiting until the mushrikeen felt that that's it, they're not going to be there. Let us go and look for them now outside. And Abdullah ibn Uraiqat comes with the two camels. And they go now to go in their journey. But they didn't go north, they didn't head north towards Medina, they headed south. Again to show, to deceive the mushrikeen, who obviously thought that the obvious journey path would be north. So they went, headed south to take them off their tracks, and then to go round and then to loop back up. And Abdullah ibn Uraiqat, he was a good guide and a trustworthy, as I mentioned, showing that there were people, even though he was not a Muslim, and even though he could have betrayed them easily, but there were people at that time who were genuine. There were people who had morals, they had ethics. And that's also a lesson for us, is to not lose hope in people, and not to lose our trust in those who are around us. Now Quraysh had spread the news, and the money and the reward money was there. So people started to look. And different people from different tribes now were on the look as well. And amongst them was somebody called Suraqah. Suraqah ibn Malik, who was also keen to get that money. And when they were sitting in one of their meetings, a man came and he said, "I saw two people cross near the coast. It must be those two men that Quraysh are looking for." So Suraqah, who was clear, he wanted the money, he wanted to get it for himself. He said, no, that can't be them. Those are two different people. I just set them off there. Because he wanted the reward for himself. And then after a while he left and got on his horse. And the Prophet and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were on camels. And he wanted to catch, and took his spear, and he wanted to catch, he wanted that reward. And he, in fact, he did catch up with the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr. And he said, as he wanted, because he wasn't sure about this, he had like some sticks, almost like a soothsaying sticks to tell the future. So he took these sticks to say, should I proceed or not? When he chose the straw was saying to him, don't proceed, go back. But he said, no, I didn't accept that. So I carried on going. And then he came closer. As he came close, the Prophet ﷺ was aware of him. But he was just looking forward, focusing forward. And all he did was lift his hands up in dua. And the horse of Suraqah just sunk into the sand. And Suraqah was shocked. He knew something was not right. So he got off his horse again. Then the sticks again. He said, no, don't follow. But then he said, no, I have to. And he kept on following until this happened a couple of times. He knew that there was something quiet. And so he said, he called out, leave me in peace. I know that you're invoking Allah against me. So just let me go in peace. I don't want anything bad to happen to me. So the Prophet ﷺ, he gave him his security. He said, don't worry, we'll leave you alone. We're not going to invoke Allah. Nothing's going to happen to you. But on condition that anybody you meet behind you, don't tell us that you met us, and just push them away. And also in one tradition, he wanted that security written. And so indeed the Prophet ﷺ wrote to him, and also he said to him, what if you, Suraqa, one day you will be given the bracelets of Kisra to wear? He said, this man is joking. I mean, he's running away, he has nothing, and he's promising me to wear the gold bracelets of Kisra. But nonetheless, he accepted this paper of oath, and he went away. And the Prophet ﷺ carried on in the journey. And they passed by a tent of a famous couple called Abu Mi'bad and Umm Mi'bad. They were a couple who were stationed, if you like, in the desert, almost like a service station in the motorway, helping people on the way. They used to give people, maybe give them something to drink or whatever. And that time, they didn't have anything to give. The milk from the ewes were dry. So the Prophet ﷺ approached them and he said, do you have anything? They said, no, we don't have the milk, but the sheep are there. So the Prophet ﷺ approached them and he stroked the udders, and lots of milk came out. Another miracle of the Prophet ﷺ. And they drank and they filled, and he even milked the ewes even further and left lots of milk back. Abu Mi'bad was not there at the time, but when he came back, he saw there was so much milk. And they knew that this was the man that Quraysh were looking for. But when Umm Mi'bad described the Prophet to him, she described him in such an eloquent way. Even today in hadith, there is a whole hadith which is dedicated to the beautiful description how she eloquently described the Prophet ﷺ in terms of his stature, in terms of his description. And Abu Mi'bad then wrote a poetry about this, which very soon reached Quraysh. And Quraysh knew that they were on the right track, that the Muhammad and Abu Bakr had almost reached their safety. And such was an intense journey. Whenever they would pass by, they would ask, who are you? And the Prophet ﷺ, even keen not to lie, but also not to give away his person, who he was, he would use something called tawriyah, just like to hide away his reality. So on one occasion, people said to them, who are you? Where are you from? So he said, we are from ma, nahnu min ma, we are from water. And that was understood by them to mean that they were from the water of Iraq. That means that they thought they were coming from Iraq. That's how he gave them that kind of indication. But the Prophet ﷺ obviously meant we are from water, mean that we are created from water. And on another occasion, when somebody also caught them up and asked them, and they knew Abu Bakr, they said to Abu Bakr, who is that with you? He said, this is my guide, Hadin Yahdini. This is my guide, he is showing me the way. Again, a clear truth, but disguised in a way to give a different meaning. And such was that journey that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took. It was a journey, as you have noted, and it's been, you know, just a few minutes to summarize the journey, but actually it's a whole few lectures to understand this full journey of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you can see in this story the message of conviction, iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah previously, a few years earlier, had taken the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has sent Jibreel with the flying horse, Al-Buraq, and had taken the Prophet ﷺ from Mecca to Al-Qudus, to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, by this horse. And he ascended him through the seven heavens. If Allah wanted, he could have done the same to the Prophet ﷺ. Just picked him up and put him in Medina. And that would have been the head. But there was a lesson to show us, and an important lesson of sacrifice and of determination and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can see the lesson of work and attempt and effort, because nothing comes easy. There has to be preparation. preparation in terms of preparation for the journey, morally, spiritually, psychologically, physically. There has to be that preparation, and materially. And such in our life, if we want to achieve anything, we have to prepare and we have to get ready. We can't expect things to happen just like this. And this is one of the things related to dua as well. Because today, some people just make dua and they think dua is a one-way street. I just make dua and that's it. I've done my bit, so to speak, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should answer my dua. But dua is not just intended to be like that. Dua is, if you like, is a declaration of your goal, what you want to achieve. So when you make dua, it is saying, this is what I want to achieve. So where is the action that leads, that aids that dua? If you say, I want al-Jannah, oh Allah, give me al-Jannah. Where are the actions that will lead to al-Jannah? What are you doing? If you ask Allah for money and wealth, what are you doing to attain money and wealth? If you're asking Allah for a good wife, what are you doing? It's not going to happen. Things are not just going to come to you like this. And such is the lesson we learn here from preparation. We see the lesson of sacrifice as well. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he sacrificed what he can. His camels, even though the Prophet ﷺ refused to take his camel, he said, I'm going to pay you for that camel that you're going to provide. But Abu Bakr sacrificed. He left his family behind. And he took with him 5,000 dirhams. He didn't leave any money to his family as well. It's a great sacrifice. And that's why when the Prophet ﷺ was on his deathbed, on his last days, he said, Inna min amanni an-nasi alayya fi malihi wa nafsihi Abu Bakr. The one who can show his favor unto me in his self and his money, the only one who can do that is Abu Bakr. And that's why he said all the entrances to the masjid, which were people had entrances to the masjid from their own houses, almost like a small alleyway, and they entered into the masjid. He said all of them should be closed, except the door of Abu Bakr should be left open. And so it was acknowledged. You can see the lesson of love, of how Abu Bakr was so happy and so glad to be with the Prophet ﷺ. But love that led to sacrifice as well. Today a lot of people, you know, they send the hearts. A lot of hearts going about, a lot of flowers to show love. But love isn't just, it's not an icon, it's not an emoji. It's not words, love is action. تَعْصِ الْإِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تَدَّعِي حُبَّهُ. You are disobey Allah whilst you claim to love Allah. That's such a despised claim. How can you love Allah and claim to love Allah and love the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, yet you go against them? But the love of Abu Bakr was the true love. To the extent that when, fast forward to when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returns back to Mecca, and to that time his father, the father of Abu Bakr, had not become Muslim. But on the conquest of Mecca, his father became Muslim and entered Islam. And he was an old man. Abu Bakr brings his father to the Prophet ﷺ. Such an old man, even his hair was so white. And the Prophet ﷺ said, why did you bring this old man? I should have gone to him. He said, no, he should come to you, O Messenger of Allah. So when he took the Shahada, the father of Abu Bakr cried. And the Prophet ﷺ said, why are you crying, Abu Bakr? It's a great day. You should be happy. Your father has become Muslim. And Abu Bakr said, I would have wished that Abu Talib became Muslim. That would have been more happy for me to see your uncle become Muslim than my father. That's how he loved the Prophet ﷺ. He wanted the Prophet to be happy to see his uncle Abu Talib, who again sacrificed a lot for Islam but never became a Muslim. He wanted him to become a Muslim rather than his own father. This is the love that the people had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And truly it is also about hope. Because even though they were being persecuted and they were being followed and they were being chased, the Prophet ﷺ knew that Allah will establish this deen. And so he gave that promise to Suraqa. And fast forward to the time of Umar radiallahu anh, when he defeated Kisra, the Persian king, and he destroyed his empire, and the treasures of Kisra were brought to Umar. He said, "Where is Suraqa?" And they brought Suraqa. He said, "These are the bracelets that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised you to wear them." And so he wore the bracelets. After he wore them, he said, "Give them back, because they're just for you to wear, not to keep." But it showed that the promise in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to believe in Allah, that's how you establish things. And that's having that hope and having that conviction. And that can only happen if your iman is in Allah great. And that goes with everything in your life, whether it's the small things, whether or it's the big things, whether you are hoping in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you amongst those people of Al-Jannah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ana 'inda dhanni 'abdi bi," I will be as my slave suspects of me. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Please make room for your brothers. Close the gaps. جزاكم الله خير. There are people standing outside. الحمد لله. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وله. عباد الله اتقوا الله فإنه قال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, after a long journey, after a big adventure and a thriller of a journey, being chased, hiding away, nearly being killed, he reaches Al-Madinah. And as he enters, or as he appears over the horizon, he is seen. And he is seen not by the Muslims initially, he was seen by a Jewish man who knew that the Muslims were expecting this man to come. And so the Jewish man comes, "Oh, Arabs of Medina, here is the man you are waiting for," he shouts. It seems that he's more delighted than they are. But indeed they were delighted. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters Medina. And when he entered Medina, which was once Yathrib, became Al-Madina Al-Munawwara, the illuminated city, because it was illuminated with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet entered the Medina and he illuminated it with his existence, with his presence, with his sunnah, with his life, with his words, with the power that he brought to Al-Madina. And then became a whole different set of tasks. People came up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Initially, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed silent. He was probably reflecting on this great achievement that he had just done in establishing Islam after years of persecution. Just to establish the word of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And so people started to greet Abu Bakr. They thought for a moment that Abu Bakr was the Prophet, because the Prophet just sat on the side, he was silent. But then they realized it was who was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they started to rejoice and to sing and to be happy for that day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to Islam. Such a great day, such a great memory, an important story to be learned and lessons to be derived. And I've just touched on some of the lessons. There's so much more. It's important for us to learn these stories, to teach our children these stories. And to learn that through patience and dedication and sacrifice, so much can be achieved. But that wasn't the end. Entering Medina wasn't the end of the story. As you all know, there was still lots of struggle, there was lots of strife. There's a lot of difficulties, there's a lot of hardships. People had left their land, they had left their money, they had left their family. And they were still a lot of trials and tribulations ahead of them. And while we mark this day, as we enter a new Hijrah year, it's important for us also to take those lessons and make them a reality in our life. And to hope that this next year, inshallah, will be a time for us to achieve our goals, our dreams, to put forward a plan for this coming year, so that inshallah ta'ala we can translate those meanings of hope, love, sacrifice, conviction in our lives, and we can achieve so much more. Allahumma arhamna bi rahmatika.